This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Monday is Seward's Day, a paid holiday for state workers, and local governments around the state also close for the day. There is usually a lot of flag waving, singing of the flag song, so we thought that we would take time out to learn more about Benny Benson, who designed the Alaska flag almost a century ago. Until recently, Alaskans were told that he was 13 years old when he entered a contest to design a flag, but this was based on a mistake on his birth certificate. The history books have gotten other details wrong, but Michael Livingston and a team of genealogy researchers and historians have now set the record straight. The detective work itself is a fascinating story, and what they uncovered, even more so. Michael Livingston works at the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association, where he has worked on a number of history and culture projects, and I recently had a chance to talk with him about the remarkable journey that he's been on, a quest for truth that has turned out to be a gift for all Alaskans. What sparked your interest in researching Benny Benson?
I work with an informal network of family tree people. Most of us are in Alaska, places like Unalaska, Kodiak, Unga and the Shumagin Islands, South Naknek and Bristol Bay, Anchorage, as well as some other family tree people in England, Africa, and Russia. We had looked at Benny Benson years ago and thought that everything looked fine with his family tree. But then one of our colleagues mentioned finding him in the 1920 U.S. federal census in Chignik, where he should not have been, because at that point in his life, in 1920, Benny was living in the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska. So he showed up in two different U.S. federal censuses, which is not supposed to happen. And in looking at the 1920 U.S. federal census in Chignik Bay, the records there seem to indicate that Benny's mother was from Unga in the Shumagin Islands, which is Unangak territory. And so that's what sparked our interest, because all the previous reports indicated that Benny was Aleutic.
So before you started digging into this, what were the preconceptions about Benny Benson?
The preconceptions about Benny Benson was that he was age 13 when he designed the Alaska state flag, that his mother's maiden name was Tatiana Shabalin, and that Benny was Aleutic from Kodiak.
And so was that true?
It took us quite a few years of research and digging and finding documents and getting them translated. But long story short, none of that was true. Benny was actually age 14 when he designed the Alaska state flag. Rather than being Aleutic, Benny was Unangak from the Aleutian Islands, and his mother's maiden name was different than what was recorded on his birth certificate.
What's the lesson from that? Because we tend to take birth certificates and documents like that as gospel.
The lesson learned is that just because something's written, whether it's on a birth certificate or a history book, doesn't mean that it's true.
Well, the research on Benny Benson shows that some of the facts are different than what we've believed, but they aren't that different. And so some people might say, well, that's a lot of trouble. Why did you take that much trouble to get to the bottom of Benny Benson's vital stats?
There's several reasons why we kept on digging to try to get things right. Number one, Benny Benson is such an important part of Alaska history, and it's important to get the facts right. Initially, when we first bumped into the differences in his date of birth, we weren't going to do anything about it. But then we realized it was just not right. We had this information. We need to share it with others. We did reach out to the Alaska Vital Statistics in Juneau. And also, some people may say there's not that much difference between being Unangak and being Aleutic. I would counter and ask, is there a difference between being Japanese and being Korean? Is there a difference between being Swedish and Norwegian? Is there a difference between being Spanish and French or Cherokee and Navajo. And I would say, yes, there are differences. Maybe if you're from outside all those cultures, you don't see the difference. Everybody looks alike, maybe to you or to me. But being inside of those cultures, there's big differences.
So you, in your past life, were a police officer. So you have those basic investigative skills. Did you put those to use in this project?
Yes, definitely. I put police skills to work, in particular when the state of Alaska told us we're probably right that Benny Benson's birth certificate does need to be corrected. They told us that we need to get a court order. And I think a lot of people might be intimidated by that. Like, how do you get a court order? But because I've worked in Alaska for 27 years as a police officer, and I've worked closely with the Alaska court system, I knew how to do an affidavit for a search warrant. And there's really not much difference between an affidavit for a search warrant and an affidavit to correct birth records.
And how long did that take you to do?
Well, altogether, we've been researching Benny for between 5 and 10 years, probably closer to 10 years. We've been working on getting all of his family tree records during that time period, also getting them translated, finding a certified Russian translator who can accurately translate Russian Orthodox Church records. And preparing of the documents took time. Writing our journal article took time. Between the time I was notified that we needed a court order and we received it, went pretty quickly. I would say less than 6 months.
So total time invested in trying to get to the bottom of Benny Benson's story and fixing it.
Yeah, that took between 5 and 10 years altogether, probably closer to 10.
So does that give you a good feeling to know that the record is straight, that we now can know with some certainty what year he was born, who his mother was?
There is a sense of satisfaction and of relief. You end up carrying this big burden, kind of like a monkey on your back. You wonder how things are going to go, and you have really no way of predicting how things are going to go. Even though I've testified many, many times in court, you just don't know what the jury is going to decide. You don't know what the judge is going to decide. So it was a burden, a stress. It is great to have the journal article published, have the story out to the public.
So let's find out more about Benny Benson's story. We know that when he was a teenager, he drew the winning design for the Alaska flag, but maybe you can take us back to the very beginning of Benny Benson's story in creating our Alaska flag.
Well, the very beginning of the Benny Benson story begins on September 12, 1912 in Chignik. We don't know which Chignik. There are three Chignik's: Chignik Bay, Chignik Lagoon, and Chignik Lake. When Benny was about 3 years old, tragically, his mother passed away, and then shortly after, their family home burned down to the ground. And Benny's father was not able to take care of the three children, and he put the three children on a ship to Unalaska. Benny's younger brother, Carl, his older sister, Elizabeth, all went to the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska. Benny lived there until 1925, when the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska was closed down and moved to Seward. Shortly after Benny arrived at the Jesse Lee home in Seward, the state flag contest was announced, and Benny entered that. He was only a seventh grader, and this was eligible for students from seventh grade up through 12th grade, so seniors. In his mind, there was little chance of him winning because seniors theoretically have a lot more skills and tools in their toolbox than a seventh grader. But there was first a contest in all of the villages. So in Seward, there was a contest, and Benny only came out third place. Another student from another school got first prize, which was $5. Another student from another school, a girl, got second prize of $2, and Benny only got $1. And Benny was really discouraged at this point in the contest. He'd misspelled the word strength when he wrote that the Big Dipper represents the bear, which represents strength. He left out the letter R and instead spelled strength. And so he was really discouraged and considered withdrawing from the contest. But thank goodness he stayed in the contest. All of the top 150 drawings from the students were sent to Juneau, And out of all those, they chose the drawing by Benny Benson.
So what do you think of when you see our flag today? I mean, I always loved our flag, just the beauty of the blue in the background, the gold stars, the Big Dipper. But because you know the story of the young boy who crafted it, and gosh, it's a story that's kind of heartbreaking. He was basically sent to live in an orphanage when he was very young because of his house burning down, his father unable to take care of him. I don't know, such a thing of beauty out of such a difficult life.
His early life was very difficult. I see Benny Benson, a young Alaska Native boy, just beaming with pride, not really believing that he's actually won, but he did, of course, win the flag contest. Despite the hardships in his life, that he was able to achieve great things and become an important part of Alaska history. And so right now, today, we're in the year 2022. This was almost 100 years ago, and it's difficult for us to remember that times were different back then. Back then, Alaska Natives were looked down upon. And to me, it's just against all odds that Benny won.
Well, when you think of the boarding school history and even looking at what's going on in Canada, mass graves that are unmarked, sort of this lackadaisical, neglectful attitudes towards documenting Native children. All children deserve to be documented properly, right? But there seemed to be sort of a sloppiness.
There really was. And, you know, in researching Benny Benson's life at the Jesse Lee home, there was a matron, a woman who worked there named Mary Winchell, and she published a really awesome book. And she said when kids showed up at the Jesse Lee home, they wanted them to have a happy life. If they didn't show up with any records, they would get down a book and make up an arbitrary birthday so that the children could celebrate their birthday. So that may have been what happened with Benny. But in looking at some of the documents, for example, on the backside of the contest that Benny drew the flag on that won, they identified him as an inmate of the Jesse Lee home.
An inmate.
Exactly. And then looking at some of the other records from the Jesse Lee home, he was identified as indentured, and he was given number 217. So indentured number 217. Again, this is back in the 1920s, and we have to remember this is before the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. This is before we had the amazing medical facilities that we now have throughout the state of Alaska. And it was before the Equal Rights Act were passed. And so back in the 1920s, again, Alaska Natives were really looked down upon. There were signs at businesses that said no dogs or no natives allowed. There's specific documents that indicate it was rough for Benny.
So what kind of kids would Benny be lumped in with at the Jesse Lee home, the first one in Unalaska where he went as a little boy?
At the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska, it was mostly Alaska Natives.
What led the kids there to be orphaned?
A variety of things led the kids to be orphaned. It could be that both of their parents passed away. It could be that one of their parents passed away and the other one didn't feel capable of raising them. Or it could be that both parents were alive and they just didn't want to take care of the children anymore. There was Alaska Natives from northern Alaska, Yupik and Inupiat. There was also a few white kids in the mix. And one thing that was really interesting is out of all those kids, and of course there was what was then called Aleut or Unangah children, out of all those kids, Benny was considered the darkest. He was even darker than the Yupik or the Inupiat kids.
Interesting. And what kind of a kid was he from what the records say or what people have said about him?
Benny was physically a smaller kid. Even when he later in his life, when he registered to serve in World War II, he was physically a smaller young man. We don't know exactly how tall he was or how much he weighed in May of 1927 when he won the flag contest. But I think we can mathematically figure out his height because we've got a picture of him standing on those stairs on the south side of the Jesse Lee home in Seward. And before the Jesse Lee home was destroyed, an employee from the city of Seward took the time to measure each one of those stairs for me. So I think mathematically we can figure out. He was a shy young lad. And if you read Mary Winchell's book, Home on the Bering Sea, he was lonely. He would sit outside and throw rocks and just was very sad. He was also very conscious of his ethnicity and particularly the color of his skin. Some of his nicknames we would consider very derogatory today, such as Chocolate Drop, because of the dark color of his. Exactly.
Chocolate Drop. And so where did you document that he was called Chocolate Drop?
That's documented in the book Home on the Bering Sea by Mary Winchell. He was also called Donut. That's in conversations with Mary Winchell. And Donut was because he was dark on the outside. And as long as he's white on the inside, then it's okay. So again, he was physically a small young boy. And then later on, after he won the contest, he was really shy. People would show up at the Jesse Lee home in Seward to contact him. And he'd run in the woods and hide. So he was also a very optimistic young man, despite all of the hardships, despite his mother passing away, despite their home being burned down, despite being put in an orphanage. Throughout his life, he maintained a positive outlook on life and treated people with respect and genuinely cared for people.
So what was his relationship with his father?
Very distant. Even though his father came through, whether it was either Jesse Lee home in Seward or Unalaska, out of all those times, Benny said his father visited him and his brother like twice.
And his father had health problems.
Yes, after Benny finally graduated from the Jesse Lee home, his father had circulation problems in his legs. Benny went to Yagayashak Island, which is between Kodiak and Chignik, where his father was farming foxes, and Benny helped him out there. And then eventually, Benny's father had to have his leg amputated, and tragically, his leg got infected. Benny took his father to a hospital in Seattle and stood by his side until Benny's father passed away in 1937.
Such an interesting story there, with another twist and turn, that his father wasn't able to take care of him, but he came through for his dad.
Exactly. Again, despite the tragedies, Benny kept a positive attitude, did the best he could to take care of his father and to do what he could to make sure he was looked after.
Now, you grew up in Cold Bay.
Yeah, Cold Bay on the Alaska Peninsula, population 35.
Now, of course, with Benny Benson, he was basically raised in Unalaska at the Jesse Lee home, but he came from that part of the world that you're very familiar with. And so what do you picture when you see this young man?
I worked in Unalaska, where Benny lived in the Jesse Lee home. My father worked in Chignik, and I visited and lived in Chignik with my father for a while. And then I went to high school in Kodiak. I've certainly also been to Seward. And so I picture a brave young man. He knew he didn't have much of a chance to win, but he entered the contest despite only being chosen third place in Seward, despite a petition being filed to keep the Jesse Lee home students out of Seward, despite some of the names that the Jesse Lee home students were called in Seward. Benny stuck through it. He didn't withdraw, even though he certainly thought of it, and he stuck with the contest.
Can you share a little bit about the racism that children experienced in Seward when they went there? Because I know that for many years, there was a Native organization that wanted to be recognized as a tribe. And part of the reason back in the day that they didn't hold up their hands and say, hey, we're a tribe, is because they faced so much discrimination in Seward that they didn't want to be recognized as a tribe. I'm curious about what kind of discrimination the Jesse Lee home students faced in Seward once the school was moved there.
And I think it's important to point out a couple of things. That racism against Alaska Natives was in Seward, but was also statewide back in the 1920s. And also it's important to point out that when I talk about Seward in 1920, it's different than Seward in 2020. Some of the people welcomed the students from the Jesse Lee home in Unalaska to arrive in Seward, but others said things like they're dirty, they're thieves. And there was a petition passed around in Seward to keep the students, the Jesse Lee home students, out of town. And over 100 people signed that petition in Seward. So again, it was blatant, in-your-face racism against Alaska Natives back in the 1920s. But thank goodness to the leadership of other people in Seward that knew it's important to find good homes for orphans. They persevered against the racism. They built the Jesse Lee home. It continued to foster orphans through the 1964 earthquake. And then the descendant of the Jesse Lee home, A.K. Child and Family, continues to exist here in Anchorage, and they continue to foster children. So times were tough back in the 1920s, but people like Benny persevered through those tough times and held their head up high.
Was my conversation with Michael Livingston, who helped to put Benny Benson's story in the context of his times. This seems like a good time for us to take a quick break. We will hear more from Michael, who worked with a team of researchers to set the record straight on Benny Benson. He's the Alaska Native student who won the contest to design Alaska's state flag almost 100 years ago. There is so much to say about Benny, the teenager who grew up in orphanages, an unlikely creator of Alaska's iconic symbol of statehood, which we'll hear more about when we come back. Stay with us.